Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the 2015 Plane and Pilot Midwest LFA Expo Radio Show, brought to you by Painter's Dream Productions and hosted by Perry Hartman of Painter's Dream Productions and Chris Collins, your international host for this year's 2015 event at the Mount Vernon Outland Airport in Mount Vernon, Illinois. The 7th annual Plane and Pilot Midwest LFA Expo is scheduled for Thursday, September 10th through Saturday, September 12th. Showtimes for this year's event are 9 to 4 each day. Midwest LFA Expo Incorporated specifically created this event for three reasons. One, to educate aviators about all facets relating to the LFA industry, including the many different aircraft types, available engines, and LFA performance. Two, to promote the sale of LFAs, the use of LFA aircraft for flight training and in rental fleets. And finally, to promote economic development in the Southern Illinois region. We know that the Plane and Pilot Midwest LFA Expo is the most convenient and affordable of its type in the country. If you ask anyone, it's the true sales and demo show. Now get ready. The Midwest LFA Expo radio show starts right now.
Well, good evening, my friends. Thank you so much for joining us this evening here at Midwest LFA Expo Radio, program number 2. Allow me this opportunity to start off our show with a little bit of wisdom. If yesterday is history, which it is, and tomorrow is a mystery, which it is, then what is today called? It's called the present, and it's a gift, and we should treat it as such. You know, every day that we wake up is a great day, and I'm honored and privileged to be able to represent the Midwest LFA Expo, what I would consider to be the finest air show in the country. This is my 7th year with them, and it's been such a pleasure to work for them and to get to talk to all the wonderful exhibitors. And I'll tell you what, everybody who is a part of this is just so wonderful to be around, and it's such a pleasure, and I want to thank you for joining us tonight. And we have a packed show tonight. We've got Zenith Aircraft on tonight. We've got ICP North America. We've got Pipistrel, and we've got UL Power. The first thing I want to do is just remind you that Thursday, September 10th through Saturday, September 12th is the Midwest LFA Expo. There are a lot of exhibitors going to be there this year, and I'm so excited, and allow me the opportunity to name them, because not only are they worth naming, but over the next 6 days, and as of yesterday, we have given each one of them a chance to talk about their products, so you, those that come to the show, you know what to expect. We've got Aeropract USA, Aerotrek, Vac EMS, Amelia Skyleader, American Legend, Arian Aircraft, Aviation Insurance Resources, Aviators Hotline, Bristell, Bushcat, CT Sales of Southern Illinois, Dreams Come True of Vector, Dynan Avionics, Eric Evans Aviation, Flights for Christ, Hansen Air Group, Hayes Aero, Heavenbound Aviation, Quicksilver, ICP North America, Jabiru USA, Just Aircraft, LAMA, Leading Edge Airfoils, Mission Aviation Fellowship, Magna USA, NIU Echolot, Nothing But a Breeze, Pipistrel, Powered Sport Flying, Rands Aircraft, Skybound Remos, Southern Illinois LSA Training Academy, Sport Air USA, SRT Aviation, Super Petrol USA, Swan Air, Technam, The Airplane Factory, Trade a Plane, UL Power, U.S. Air Force NORAD, the U.S. Sport Aviation, Vans Aircraft, Wix Aircraft, and Zenith Aircraft. Well, now that we got that out of the way, allow me this opportunity to also mention our sponsors, who without them we wouldn't have this show. We give special thanks to the Mount Vernon, Illinois Convention and Visitors Bureau, to the Frosty Mug Bar and Grill, to Huck's, to Barrow YX IGA Hometown Proud, to Sensation Situations Liquor Store, gotta love them, to the Republic Services, to Drury Hotels, to Cedarhurst, celebrating their 40th year, to Diamond Auto Services, to Audio Visions, to our dear friends at Wilkie's Cafe, to Deluxe Barbecue at Fat Daddy's, to Bradshaw, to Affordable Heating, Cooling, and Sheet Metal, to Payne's Seamless Gutter, and to the Country Blacksmith Trailers. And of course, Wix Aircraft. Now that we've got all those announcements out of the way, the good news is it appears that tonight we also have our international host, Mr. Chris Collins. Chris, how you doing, sir?
Doing okay, Perry. I'm solving one of those airport problems right now, trying to take a load of Hunter low-lead aviation gasoline, and the fuel farms broke down, so we're in the middle of airport crisis right now that most people don't ever see or hear about.
Well, then I'm not gonna take any more of your time. You go handle that. In the meantime, I'll start with the interviews, and I'll check back with you probably in about 15, 20 minutes. How does that sound?
You got it. Thanks.
Perfect. No problem. Well, tonight's first guest is a gentleman who I met last year at the Expo. He was on the radio last year. And if you've never met Valter, he is one of the most unique individuals you'll ever meet. He's always having a good time. He's always smiling and laughing. And allow me this opportunity to bring on ICP North America and Valter. Valter, how you doing, sir?
We're doing just fine here in Texas. How's it going in Illinois?
Well, actually, I'm in Tennessee. Chris is in Illinois.
Tennessee.
I am in Tennessee. My station's actually out in Tennessee. And so, again, I don't deal with the issues in Illinois like Illinois does, like a lot of snow. But all is well here in Tennessee. And we had a beautiful day today. And I just want to, again, thank you for coming on the show. You have been so faithful to this show and so dedicated, and I wanted to open up an opportunity for you to share with our listeners what you're going to be offering this year, and we're just grateful to have you on, Valter. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, first of all, for having me on board, and as usual, I need to compliment you and Chris, because last year's show was great, as expected, and I go to a lot of shows, but the sense of organization, family, and fun, and everything runs smooth over there. So big compliment goes to Chris and everybody that organized the show. This year we're going to be out there again with our Savannah. We are celebrating this year our 35th year in production of airplanes for ICP. So
wow.
It's kind of like a milestone. Yes, not too many companies can boost that claim, but we are happy, and we are coming up with a bunch of new products. Unfortunately, they're not going to be ready for the this show, maybe Sebring, but we're going to be there with the Savannah, which has been our good seller. It's becoming a great trainer airplane. A lot of flying school are looking into it to buy as a basic trainer, so I think that maybe we are able to finally cross and take down a little bit the space of the Cessna 150-172.
What would you say is the greatest advantage of the Savannah?
I would say it's other than the economical part, to buy a basic Savannah costs $72,000, and to run it between gas and everything costs less $25 an hour. But I think that what is attracting a lot of people to this airplane is safety. The airplane is slow. It can stall at only 30 miles an hour. At the same time, it goes to 115 miles an hour cruise. But it's very, very, very forgiving. Everybody, that's why it's been used for auto training lately. So I would say that economic on the side, which is great, I think that the biggest thing that Savannah offers is the safety factor.
Hmm. And as you know, the LSA Expo is known for its ease of use for going on demo rides. And one of the questions last year that I didn't mention too much, that this year, Valter, I did learn from my mistakes. I am teachable. is every company who offers demo rides, they have a bit of a different procedure. And what I wanted to do is ahead of time, because we already know that there's going to be buyers there, but we want the buyers to be able to listen to this show and find out, okay, I want to take a look at that Savannah. What is it going to take to do a demo ride? Would you spend a few minutes and just share what the requirements are? So this way, when they walk up, all they have to do is meet those requirements and they're taken off and gone.
Okay. Basically, we're going to give a ride to anybody that is interested in aviation. I am very active with the Young Eagle program and the Eagle program. So even if people are not very, very interested in the airplane, I'll be happy to give them a ride just to introduce them to aviation. So if you, okay, we will basically give a ride to almost everybody as long as we have time. Then, of course, each ride is going to be different. I am, I've been instructing for more than 10,000 hours. So I realize that each ride is going to be different. Some people will just take a little spin around the pattern. Some people are going to get a little bit more aggressive maneuver. And somebody that's interested in buy will focus more on the operational. Somebody that interested in a ride will give him some sightseeing.
Hmm. Well, wonderful. Hmm. That's good. That's nice and easy. Again, sometimes, you know, I never know what they're going to say. And we had a gentleman on last night that said, look, I only want serious buyers. I'm not going to waste our resources. I'm not. And everybody's different. So that's the reason why
yes.
we asked that question. So that this way, what will happen is all the people who are interested in the Savannah or interested in getting into aviation, then at least they know who they can go to without having to worry about anything.
Well, now, that's okay. We welcome everybody, like say, even if they are not really, really interested. Okay, it's not going to become a circus, but again, we'll help everybody to take a ride.
I can imagine that now we'll have to get a little ringmaster outfit for you. We'll get some animals. And whatever it takes to entertain the crowd, you know what I mean?
Yes.
One of the things about the Expo that they have really succeeded in is their dedication to this industry. I mean, Chris wants this industry to succeed. You know, he and you guys, and even there were a couple guys we talked to last night who are just sitting back right now wondering where is this industry going? What's going on with this industry? And I just wanted to kind of talk to you about this this situation that's going on and get your opinion about the situation with the EAA and the AOPA and the insurance and you know what I'm talking about. What is your opinion on this issue?
Well, everybody wants to aviation to take off and become more and more present. Unfortunately, everybody has a different opinion on how to do that. I think that the biggest obstacle to date is still the FAA. I think that everybody in the industry is trying to do their best. I am a big supporter of the elimination of the third-class medical for private pilots. The FAA is now moving on that. And so, like I say, if we want to make aviation more accessible to the masses, we need to lower the cost of flying. There is no two way about it. So I'm applaud everybody that promote aviation and that try in a way or another to lower the cost of flying.
What do you think is stopping them from moving forward on that?
On the third class medical?
Yep.
I don't know. We have plenty of research that shows that the glider pilots have been safe for tens of years. The LFA pilot, now over 10 years old, you know, we do not have accident due to medical reason. So yep. We are actually helping making the statement. I think that the government is a big elephant that it moves very, very slowly and does not pay for their mistake. So let's not get on politics here.
But that's why everybody continues to keep moving. I mean, you can't stop because no matter what they do, you have to keep going. Each day still goes by. We've got the show coming up right around the corner, and business still needs to be done. People still want to buy planes. Pilots still want to be trained. Products still need to be sold. So I guess we just have to wait and see what's going to happen and just keep doing business, huh?
That's exactly right. We'll do the best we can. As again, I tell all my friends in the aircraft business, let's keep the industry alive, and we'll have to take some sacrifice. We'll have to take different approach. But as long as we are present, eventually the situation is going to get better.
And the good news is that at the expo, there are buyers there. I mean, last night we had a guy, he sold 3 or 4 airplanes because of it. That was one guy. And so, again, the goal of this radio show, as you know, is to simply explain to people, those who are not familiar with the expo, which right now it's in pretty much every magazine. We've been promoting it all over the internet. So, you know, by now, and this being our 7th year, the good news is we actually had 3 or 4 new exhibitors this year, ones who've kind of been on the fence, and they finally stepped up and they're coming forward now to be a part of it. And that's wonderful, again, because we know that when it comes to demoing, there isn't an easier show to demo a plane than the expo. Nowhere in the country is there.
I fully agree with you. We had a lot of sale at the show. We are actually already have about 5 appointments with people that we met in Oshkosh to demo the airplane out there. So for us, it's been a great show. And again, it's very, very friendly for flying. It's small enough that we can move around and big enough that we attract enough people.
Well, I can never thank you enough for taking the time again. We've got a full show tonight. And unfortunately, I myself am not going to be at the expo this year. Being that I'm a mouthpiece to many people, I've got 3 other appointments that need to be done, and I can't. And so I promised Chris, I said, Chris, I'll do the radio show. I'll take care of everything else, but I'm not going to be able to emcee it. But the good news is, of course, this radio show, as you know, will be played at the expo, which we did last year, which a lot of people, they didn't get a chance to hear it. And many didn't even know we were having the radio show. And so when they got there, one guy came up to me and said, was this on the air? I said, it certainly was. He said, and I guess from what Chris told me, he went right to Facebook and liked the page. And so this year, I definitely know he's listening. So thank you again for sharing about your product and about what we've got going on this year. And was there anything else that you didn't mention about this year's show, or any products that you want to talk about before we move on?
I'll thank you guys again for the great job, and we'll see you up there.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Valdo.
We're going to see the rest of the people.
That's exactly right. Don't give Chris too much of a hard time.
No, I love the Chris hard time. Good evening.
And by any chance, did you happen to stop at that restaurant Rare last year?
Which one?
It's called Rare.
No, we didn't.
If you get a chance, and if you're looking for a good steak, go to Rare Chop House. It's excellent.
Well, we're always looking for a good steak, so we'll be there this year.
Well, wonderful. Thanks again, Walter.
You have a good night. Bye.
Appreciate it, sir. Well, we thank you, Walter, again for joining us. As you may or may not know, this is the 7th annual of the Midwest LSA Expo, scheduled for Thursday, September 10th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. through Saturday, September 12th at the Mount Vernon Outland Airport in Mount Vernon, Illinois. The Midwest Expo, Inc. has specifically organized the unique event to sell light sport aircraft, LSA ancillary services, and LSA-related services. We feel that the Plane and Pilot Midwest LSA Expo is the most convenient and affordable of its type in the country, and the host city and the airport are located at the crossroads of 2 major interstates and are about an hour and 15 minutes by ground from Lambert St. Louis International Airport. Mount Vernon has over 1,200 hotel rooms, 60 restaurants are within 3 miles of the event site, and over 50% of the entire U.S. population is within an 8-hour drive from Mount Vernon. Now that we got that out of the way, let's see, who are we going to pick? I'd say we're now going to go with Zenith Aircraft. Sebastian, how you doing, sir? Hey, Sebastian, are you there? Sebastian. Maybe we've lost him. Let's go over to Pipistrel. Hey, David, are
Hello.
You there?
I'm here.
How you
and how
doing,
are you
sir?
Doing down there?
Well, you know, so far so good. We're about, I don't know, we're about 20 minutes in, so we're doing pretty good.
So what's the weather forecast for Wednesday?
You know, that's a great question. Wow, you know, let me find out. That's a good question. Well, I wasn't ready for that one. I learn every day. That's a
well,
great
we're
question.
Well, we're going to be doing a lot of checking up here. We're coming from the Twin City area. So we've got a flight it's an easy flight, 5 hours or so, perhaps less, depending on the weather.
It looks like, and right now, of course, right now it's sitting at about 84 degrees.
Same
which
here.
Is very hot. Okay. What is this? Now close this window. What is this doing? You know, I love the internet, but sometimes you wonder who's actually controlling it.
You don't want to
okay,
know.
Okay, let's. I know, right? It looks like. And boy, you know something? I'm not going to quote that because I just don't want to be wrong. You go ahead and search for yourself because.
Yep, we'll do.
If I were to say something like on the radio that it wasn't going to rain and it did, or I would just feel terrible about that. But do us a favor. Take a few moments and tell us about what we can expect for Pipistrel at the Midwest LSA Expo.
Well, I'm going to fly my short wing down there. It's called a Vera short wing, and it's got a 100 horsepower engine in it. The features of this aircraft is it climbs out about 1,600 feet a minute typically, and cruises at 120 knots quite easily, and it's got a sink rate of less than 500 feet a minute. One of the things about all of our aircraft is that when we take off from the airport and you get up to pattern altitude or even halfway up to pattern altitude, if you were to have an engine failure at that time, you could make it back to the airport. Glide
wow.
ratio is always, sink rate is less than half, and in my case about a third of what my climb rate is. So in a normal climb out, I'm climbing so fast that I've always got time to. I've always got the altitude to cruise, go back to the airport. Yeah,
wow.
A little different. A little different. Of course, at the very low altitudes, you got to land on a runway straight ahead. But we take off in about 300 feet, so we don't spend too much time on runways.
which is a good thing, unless you really enjoy that airport, you don't want to leave. But
well, I'm a better flyer than I am driver of airplanes.
Do you have any unique specials going on this year?
Not any particular specials. We do have a new aircraft and a new modification of our Cinus, which is our long wing aircraft. It's actually a glider, a little less than 50-foot wingspan. But that aircraft has a 30-to-1 glide ratio, which means, for example, if you were at 10,000 feet and you had an engine quit on you, you could go 60 miles on a you could go to any airport within 60 miles downwind. Be less into the wind. That gives you something to think about. I once multiplied out the square miles of that, and it's a really big number.
What is the...
Ella, go ahead.
What would you say would be... Because, again, we've got all different kinds of aircraft this year. But one of the things which I've been trying to do, which didn't do last year, was to kind of give the audience listener an idea as far as the differences between your airplane and those other planes which have been on our radio show. What would you say is the advantage of yours versus some of the others?
Well, the really big difference is that I've got a 30-to-1 glide ratio on the Cinus, about 17-to-1 on the short wing. And that's a better glide ratio than almost anybody has. So it's a really clean aircraft, which means that we can go fast without much power. Most of our aircraft have an 80-horsepower engine in it, and that'll get 120 knots easily. That's knots, not miles an hour. The my 100 horse basically gives it a faster rate of climb. But I burn about 3.6 gallons an hour when I'm cruising at around 120 knots. That's pretty good gas mileage. That's over 40 miles per gallon. With the long wing Sinus, we get someplace around 50 miles per gallon. Of course, I'm talking tailwheel here. With a nose wheel, it takes you just a little more fuel.
As I asked our dear friend Walter about this this FAA and AOPA and the insurance issue, do you have any input on that? Any ideas on that?
Well, I'm not gonna control the insurance industry or the FAA. It's sometimes it's just better to ignore them, let them do their thing. And however, sometimes we can have an influence on them as well. And it pays to write to them when they do call for a comment period. Give them a comment. Write them a letter.
Sure. When it comes to demo rides for the show, what are some of the procedures or some of the things that they need to have ready or they need to know prior to asking for a demo ride from you?
Well, it's quite possible we're only going to have one aircraft. I've got a little problem with a trailer and the other one, and I don't want to get into complexities, but
okay. It
kind of got tied up in a location that might not make it available to us. So if we have one airplane, we'll give as many demo rides as we can, but we won't be doing it constantly because we have to have the aircraft on display as well. And we'll have two pilots there. Go ahead.
What would you say the pricing is for your aircraft?
From less than $100,000 for the Alpha Trainer to $110,000, $130,000 for the most of the aircraft, and depends on what you put on the aircraft. All of our aircraft are custom made. Almost all of our aircraft are custom made in that you can choose whatever options you want and put them on. Almost all of our aircraft come with a parachute, for example.
Mm.
And I think that's probably true of our competition as well. But
we
do regard them as a very safe airplane for a lot of reasons. And that's just a last resort safety thing.
Was there anything that we have not talked about as far as what you're going to be offering at the show that you wanted to discuss before I go on to our next interview?
Well, one of the things that that's new this year, and we haven't actually had any come into the country yet, we've got an increase in our gross weight on our Sinus aircraft, which means that it's actually up to 1,296.90 pounds. And with the typical empty weight, that means we've got a useful load of 610 pounds, which is a really large useful load for an LSA airplane. I think it's probably the greatest of any of the aircraft. I'm pretty sure that's true. But with a reasonable amount of fuel on board to go 400 or 500 miles, you have room for 500 pounds of passengers and luggage. Not everybody does that.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think anybody else does that, as a matter of fact. And that's because of the carbon fiber construction.
Mm.
It's very lightweight, very smooth, very high-quality construction. When you look at our aircraft, you'll notice you can read a newspaper and the reflection off the bottom of the wing. They do a nice job of molding those aircraft.
Mm. Well, I'm grateful that you took the time to share it with our listeners about what you're going to be offering, and I can definitely speak on Chris's behalf and thank you for your faithfulness and joining us each year. And one of the things, too, that we were talking about was people's experiences with the Expo. And if anybody asked you about the Midwest LSA Expo, what would you tell them about it?
Well, I think it's going to be a great place to go. I have to tell you a little bit of a humor, though. I was down there 2 years ago, and you had a fog come in so that the field went IFR for 3 days.
Oh,
guess which 3 days those were?
All 3 days.
We had a lot of that. I don't hope that never happens again. We had a lot of interest from people that drove. But I'm looking forward to good weather down there, and we're thinking it's going to be a little better than it was this week. So expect to do some flying and expect to show some people airplanes. Expect to sell some airplanes there.
I have a feeling that this year's weather is going to be pretty good. Don't know that sure again. That's why I'm always afraid. As I was looking at the weather, I'm like, we're talking about Illinois here. I mean, this thing can change overnight. So I would hate to say, oh, it's going to be sunny and great. And then all of a sudden they say, hey, that guy said it was going to be sunny, but it's raining. I didn't want to deal with that kind of drama, you know.
No, we may do, but we're used to that. We're pilots in the Midwest.
Well, David, thank you again for joining us tonight, and looking forward to the show. And again, thank you for taking the time tonight to talk to us, and look forward to hearing from you again next year.
Well, thank you, and I hope that Chris gets his gasoline problem solved.
I hope so, too. He's still not on, so it's got to be a doozy, because I told him, I said, Chris, I'm not a pilot, you know. I can only talk about so many things that make sense. I said, so I'm really going to need your help on here. But in an emergency like this, the Lord's faithful. He gave me all that I needed, so.
Good.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. Bye.
Well, next we're going to go to Zenith Aircraft. Who do we have with Zenith tonight? I just turned on your microphone.
I think you pushed the UL power button by mistake.
Oh, is this Robert?
Yeah, we got the same area code, Zenith and I, so it could be you got the buttons confused.
Well, what's weird is it's showing the 573 phone number.
My area code is 573 as well.
Oh, it is. Oh, I had a 347 number. No wonder. Well, this is UL Power then. This is not Zen. How you doing, sir?
Very good. Have you got another 573 area code on the directory there?
No, I don't. I thought I did, but of course when I turned on the mic, you didn't say anything. You were being so good. You could have said, but of course you didn't know your mic was on. So, but yes, I have not heard from Zenith yet, but it's still early, so.
Well, I live close to Zenith, and I spend a lot of time at their factory, so if Sebastian isn't able to join us, I could speak to their airplanes as well.
Well, you know, that sounds like a great idea. Let's start with yours, and then we'll if they're still not on, then I'll just let you talk about it, and we'll keep moving forward.
All right.
The one thing
with our engine – sorry, go ahead.
No, you just keep going. That's what I was going to ask you about.
The show that Chris puts on is really good. For the people that don't know all of the language, light sport is a category, and it affects not only the airplane but also the pilot. So you could be a light sport pilot or you could be a private pilot. There's different categories. And then there's also, within the airplane classification, there's different types of light sport airplanes. There's a SLSA, which is a supplemental light sport aircraft, and it is a manufactured airplane. You buy it ready to fly. And then there is an ELSA, which is experimental light sport aircraft, which is basically identical to the manufactured airplane, but the owner actually builds a portion of it. It comes as a kit, but it's a very completed kit. And the buyer finishes it off, and they are technically the manufacturer. But it has to match exactly the specifications of the SLSA airplane. And then the third category, or a third category, is actually more, but Zenith Aircraft fits in this category, for instance, is an amateur-built light sport aircraft. It's actually an amateur-built experimental aircraft that fits in the light sport category. Mm. And so Pip Estrell, for instance, and Valter, their airplanes are SLSA. They're manufactured airplanes. They're built ready to fly. And then Valter also, I believe, has a kit. So you can actually buy the Savannah as a kit, and you could build it. And where this becomes critical is with our engines, for instance, built our first engine in 2002 in Belgium. Our engines today can only be used in experimental airplanes. So they are not used in the SLSA or the ELSA airplanes, but they're used in the amateur-built experimental airplanes. So like Zenith, and if somebody wanted to build a Savannah on their own, they could buy the kit from Valter and then install UL Power. So our engines aren't as popular in the airplanes at the LSA Expo, but the Zenith aircraft and Ariane aircraft and then Ryan, some of the other ones, the folks that sell kits, you could use our engines in their airplanes.
So why don't you spend a few moments in talking about the different types of engines that you guys offer?
Well, we started out, and the way the company started is actually a real famous automotive race engine company in Belgium. They'd been building race engines for cars, like road rally races, you know, Paris to Dakar, the real big, crazy races in Europe and around the world. And in 2002, Light Sport Helicopter Company went to them with their engine on their helicopter. They weren't developing enough power. And so they asked them if they could take that engine, put it on the dyno, and analyze it and modify it to try to get more power out of it. And so they did that, and they were successful. And the company said, okay, we're going to bring 80 engines to you if you could modify them for us, and we'll put them on our helicopters. And the folks that became UL Power, they said, you know, we could design a brand-new engine for you from scratch that'll be less expensive, it'll be lighter, and it'll have more power, and it'll be more efficient. And so that's how the company started in 2002 and transitioned from an automotive race engine company to an aviation engine company.
And based upon your website, it looks like you got 4-cylinder and 6-cylinder. And the differences seem to be horsepower, obviously.
Yeah, we started with the small 4-cylinders, 2.6 liters, and our numbering, the engine is a UL260i, and then they're all fuel-injected, multi-point fuel injection, dual electronic ignition, and FADEC, which stands for Full Authority Digital Engine Control. So in the cockpit, all you have is a throttle. There's no primer, no choke, no mixture, and no carburetor heat. All you have is a throttle. To start the engine, you just turn the key and go, and all through flight, all you do is push in the throttle or pull out the throttle. There's no need to worry about carburetor heat. There's no need to worry about the mixture. The computer takes care of all of that for you.
And I'm looking here on your website, and you give all the fuel requirements. This is a very good website. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Thanks. We've got the I model, so like the 260i, and then we have the 260IS. The IS is a little bit higher compression. They're the same basic engine. They just have different compression with a different piston and then different software in the ECU to give it more fuel. With the I models, you can use 91 octane automotive fuel with up to 15% ethanol. And with the IS models, because it's a little bit higher compression, we want people to use 93 octane. The same way, you can use up to 15% ethanol. And you could burn 100 low lead in any of our engines, but then you have to do something about the lead. You can put in some additives into the fuel and this oil to help get rid of the lead so it doesn't cause too much buildup and resulting damage.
And it looks like here, too, it looks like you carry spare parts.
Yeah, we did about a year ago. Yeah, about a year ago, we entered into an agreement with Wix Aircraft Supply. They are now our exclusive supplier of parts in North America, and they're open 6 days a week. Whether it's a warranty item or a replacement part, you can just call into Wix. And the thing that's nice about that is the staff at Wix are getting to know our engines better, and they can actually help with a little bit of diagnostic and troubleshooting as well. And so we have a close relationship with Wix. And then we also have a program called UL Check, and you can put that on your laptop and bring the laptop to the plane and connect with a cable to the ECU, and you can do some diagnostics on the engine as well.
And it looks like here you've got dealers all over the world.
Yeah, the company that the factory is in Belgium, and then we've got more and more dealers. We just entered into an agreement at Oshkosh with a new company in Brazil. And then we met with some guys out of Chile, and then a pretty active dealer in South Africa, and then Europe is pretty busy as well. And then there's a company out of Los Angeles, actually, that helps to distribute the engines in China and some of the other Asian countries.
When it comes to delivery on these, how long does it take for, when someone orders an engine, how long does it take for them to get it?
So since we're dealing with the experimental airplanes, it's all of our customers are people that are building their own airplanes. And so because all of the engines are custom, you know, the wiring looms are different lengths, and have different options on alternators and prop flanges and things. I suggest to people about 10 weeks before they actually need the engine at their hangar or their home to go ahead and start the process of, you know, identifying the options and ordering the engine. To actually build the engine at the factory is about 4 weeks, but then we have the process of, you know, shipping it and getting through customs and such. So 10 weeks is a good rule of thumb. And if you're building an airplane, it typically takes, you know, anywhere from 2 years to 5 years to build the plane. So you have enough time to plan in advance to order the engine. Now, in some cases, like with Zenith Aircraft, Zenith was the first to develop the firewall forward kit for UL Power. And so Zenith, through their firewall forward kit, they basically identify some of the options that are required for their installation. So they take that guesswork away from the builder, and as a result, we're able to build engines faster. So the lead time for a Zenith customer is substantially shorter than somebody that's, you know, designing their own airplane or building a kit that's not as popular as a Zenith kit.
And speaking of Zenith, of course, they're still not on yet. So feel free to share what you know about them, and then hopefully I can get them on either Monday or Tuesday, because Wednesday is packed at before.
Zenith is an amazing company. They started, Chris Hines was the father of the current, Sebastian Hines runs Zenith, and then his brothers have Zenair up in Canada. And Chris Hines years ago designed his first airplane. My understanding is, you know, he designed it for his own use. He was working at an aviation company in Europe, and he was just doing it somewhat as a hobby. And then he was successful, and then he started selling plans, and then he started selling parts, and then he started selling kits. And so Sebastian, about 22 or 23 years ago, to Mexico, Missouri, right in the middle of the U.S., and he set up shop and started building kits. And they still have the popular Zenith 701, which is a small two-seat, high-wing STOL airplane, and STOL stands for Short Takeoff and Landing, STOL, and very affordable kit. And then as the business grew, the market grew, people wanted a little bit bigger airplanes, and so the 701 kind of evolved into the 750. So the 750 is very similar, just a little bit bigger. The 701, for instance, can operate really well on 80 to 100 horsepower, whereas the 750 are 118 and our 130 horsepower engines are pretty popular on the 750. And the 750 is all match hole drilled. It's all metal. All of Zenith airplanes are all metal, so it's easy for people to grasp the skills required to build it. It's just a very easy plane to build. And Zenith's got nice workshops where you can go to their factory and attend a builder workshop for 2 days to build a rudder or build something else to see if you've got what it takes to build an airplane. And while you're there at the factory in the workshop, you can also take a demo flight and get a tour of the factory and meet the people. But I like to emphasize to people that are building their own airplane, a lot of people, this is their lifelong dream. You know, the typical customer is 62 years old and either just retired or is about to retire and has always wanted for a long time has wanted to build his own airplane. And so, and they plan to keep this plane for the rest of their life. And so whether it's an airplane or engine or avionics, what I really encourage people to do is to do research, go to the Mount Vernon Air Show, go to all the other air shows, go to fly-ins, go to your EAA chapter meetings, talk to people and figure out what you want in the plane, and then identify the different planes that meet your needs. And then go and meet those companies. Go to the companies, go to their company workshops, go to their company fly-ins. Talk to their customers, you know, do your due diligence. You know, Zenith has been in business for 22 years and Zenair in Canada has been in business, I think, for 40 years. And so, you know, they've been around for a long time. And so same way with engines. I encourage people, you know, I'm happy to talk to people about, you know, other engines besides UL Power. Continental has the O200, which is a very good engine. You can also get a Corvair engine and put it in an experimental airplane, or you can, Jabiru has engines, Rotax. There's quite a few different engines. And so I encourage people, you know, identify your goal. What is it you want from an airplane or from an engine? And then do your due diligence and really compare and make a real sound decision, because your goal is to, you know, keep this plane for the rest of your life. So you want something that's going to work really well.
One of the things that I know that's going on with Zenith is I know they're doing an open hangar event after the expo on the 18th and 19th. So chances are while they're at the expo, they're going to be doing a lot of promoting for that. So that will definitely give people a chance to go take a look at their facility and to see what they do. And I'm sure they're going to do very well at this event. As a matter of fact, one of the exhibitors I was talking to said after he's done with the expo, that's where he's going.
I'll be there as well. Yeah, Zenith does a good job with their – they have two open hangar days, one in the spring and one in the fall. And the one in the fall is really good. They bring in a lot of vendors. And so it's a real good way to meet people. You know, you can meet the people that supply wheels and brakes, and you can meet the different engine companies and avionics and things like that. So it's a good way to go.
Do you have an opinion on this insurance situation, this medical insurance situation?
The third class medical, I'm aware of. I don't know what the insurance issue is, though.
No, I'm sorry. You're right. That's exactly right. It's a third class medical. That's what I was referring to. Sorry.
If you look back, I grew up in aviation, and then I went away from it, and then I came back to it. And if you look back at the creation of life support, you know, the FAA basically created a whole new category, however many years ago it was, where it basically enabled new airplanes and a new type of pilot to participate, to enjoy the sport or the whatever you want to call it. You know, some people use life support, they're able to travel for business, but for the most part, it's a recreational event. So the FAA created this category, and really what it did was it enabled a lot of companies outside of the United States to develop airplanes and import them into the United States. So if you look historically at the SLSA category, the airplanes that have been available in that category, a lot of them are imported from outside the U.S., whereas the U.S. manufacturers like Cessna and Piper and then the experimental companies like RAMS and Zenith and Ariane Aircraft, some of the others that will be at the show, they didn't have a product necessarily designed for that SLSA category. And so when that category was created, they had to decide, you know, whether they just continue with an amateur-built experimental plane that somebody can build and fly in that category, or if they wanted to, you know, design and go through the whole certification process, create an SLSA airplane so they could sell ready-to-fly airplanes. And so Zenith Aircraft, for instance, does not have a ready-to-fly aircraft, and RAND does, and Ariane Aircraft does. So when the whole category was created, people had to make a business decision which way to go. And so, so that was one issue. Now, if the third class medical goes away, then a private pilot doesn't have to necessarily fly a light sport airplane. So there are a lot of existing airplanes that were, you know, certified airplanes that were manufactured years ago, like some of the Cessnas and Pipers and Luscombe and Taylorcraft that fit in the light sport category. But in addition to that, if the third class medical goes away, depending upon the restrictions on the aircraft, how they define what aircraft the pilot can fly without the third class medical, and it's going to enable a lot of other airplanes to be flown by pilots without medical certificate, so that those pilots won't be forced to fly light sport airplanes or SLSA airplanes. So it's going to change the marketplace. We don't know for sure how it's going to change it, but, you know, pick a Vans airplane, an RV6, for instance, does not fit in the light sport category, and there's a lot of RV6s flying. So now if all of a sudden the third class medical goes away, and a pilot that's getting up in age or for whatever reason does not want to continue to get their medical certificate, whereas today they would have to step down from the RV6 and get a new airplane that fit in the light sport category. If the third class medical goes away, then they can continue to fly their RV6, or person that doesn't yet have a plane, they could choose to get the RV6 instead of, you know, the RV12, which is the equivalent van light sport airplane, or a Zenith or a Rams or something else like that. So it's going to change. It'll give the pilot a lot more choices on which way they go, which airplanes they want to pursue. And then for us specifically with the engines, we have 8 different model engines from 97 horsepower up to 200 horsepower. So our engines fit almost the full spectrum of amateur-built experimental airplanes that are in existence today, except for some of the really high-end, like the Lancers and such, that require, you know, 300-plus horsepower, and the Vans RV-10 and RV-14. So for us, I think we'll have a larger market because I think we'll see more interest in the amateur-built experimental airplanes. Now, with the SLSA, I think there'll still be a good market for those airplanes because the flight schools will be able to use those. And also, they're much more efficient. Like Walter was saying, you can fly an SLSA airplane for, you know, 3 to 4 gallons an hour of fuel. And because they're new airplanes, new technology, the insurance is less. And the purchase price is higher than, you know, general aviation airplane that was manufactured 30 or 40 years ago. But you're getting all brand new airplane. And so we're not totally sure how it's going to affect the market, but it will affect the market, but it'll give pilots or aircraft owners more flexibility on choosing what airplane they can fly at that point.
And it seems to me, though, but because there hasn't been a decision yet, that it's causing some people to kind of make different business decisions when it comes to what they're going to offer because they just don't know what direction they're going to go. But in your business, it doesn't look like it's really going to affect it in any way.
Yeah, I don't think it'll affect us at all. We're actually working on an engine now, or the certification process, so that our smaller engines can be used in the SLSA aircraft. There's a standard. It's an ASTM standard that you have to basically certify the engine or the airplane to that standard, and then you can fit in the SLSA category. So our engines, within a year, will be able to be used in the SLSA aircraft. Either way, you know, we'll be able to address both markets. But some aircraft, like the gentleman from Pit Patrol was talking about, for instance, his airplane with 100 horsepower, remember how he was saying there's a speed limit currently for the light sport aircraft? I think it's 118 knots is the maximum cruise speed.
Mm-hmm.
Or cruise speed, I forget the language in the regulation itself. But with 100 horsepower, he could actually cruise above that speed limit. And so if the third-class medical goes away, somebody that has one of his airplanes then could fly it at a higher speed because they're not limited to the light sport category. Now, oh. I say this though with the caveat that, you know, once you have to make a decision when you build the airplane or buy the airplane, if it's going to be in the light sport category or the, you know, some other category. So basically Zenith and RANS and some other companies, the experimental, amateur-built experimental airplanes, they have existing products that depending upon the size of the wing or the size of the engine, they fit in the light sport category with very slight modification. They could also go up, they could either fly faster or they could carry more weight. And then a private pilot without, you know, if the third class medical goes away, then a private pilot could take advantage of that and carry more luggage or fly a little bit faster. So there's already some products, you know, people are thinking, you know, designing their current products so they can take advantage of the change if and when it happens.
Well, it definitely sounds like you have a pretty good grasp on not only this industry, but on other aircraft. And, of course, that's very beneficial for those that are going to be listening to this radio. And I'm looking forward to, again, it's kind of funny because I'm kind of on the outside of it. But Chris and I talk probably every other day about something relating to either the event or the airport. And, you know, this year he said for some reason – like some of the, a few of the exhibitors that he had, they were just kind of on the fence because of the situation. And he said, either way, business has got to continue. So you at least might as well come and enjoy yourself. And of course, being that this weekend is the Labor Day weekend, you know, there's I guess within like 250 miles around the expo, there's some other events going on, which is actually causing people to leave early. So some are actually going to be in Mount Vernon a little bit earlier than normal versus last year, I guess, that people were coming in the day of. So, All I know is there he's ready to go, and it seems like UL Power's ready to go, and Zenith is ready to go, and the guys that we talked to last night, everybody's ready to go. They're locked and loaded, and looking forward to another successful show. And thank you for joining us, Robert. And, of course, as I stated earlier, I won't be at the show this year, but thank you for your time. And
you're welcome.
Again,
yeah, we really enjoy the show. You know, the Midwest, the hospitality definitely shines through, and the town, that the restaurant you mentioned, Rare and Frosty's,
yep.
they're very very hospitable to them. We have a lot of fun when we go to Mount Vernon. The people are very very nice.
Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and we look forward to a wonderful Labor Day weekend. We're not going to have a show on Saturday or Sunday, but we will continue back Monday night with the Midwest LSA Expo Radio. And I'm grateful that we've had all the guests on that we have tonight. Remember, we are aggressively advertising this event. So if you're looking for a light sport aircraft, or you're looking for an engine, or you're looking for an LSA product of any time, come to the Midwest LSA Expo. It's Thursday, September 10th through Saturday, September 12th. We'd love to have you, as you heard. It's got wonderful hospitality. It's a great area. And our goal is to promote all segments of the light sport industry. Thank you for joining us tonight. As I said, we'll see you guys on Monday at 7 p.m. I never say goodbye. Oh, now Chris is on. Look, Chris, you just came on, right? I was just about to end the show, and here you are.
Well, it's good to be back. And
everything
learning
okay?
Learning has occurred once again.
What happened?
We were receiving a load of fuel at the airport, and we did something a couple weeks ago. Some airports have done, some airports haven't, but we bought reclamation units so we could recycle our quality control samples that we do every day on a daily basis. We're, you know, throwing away 5 gallons of fuel or better, and we purchased reclamation units, and the payback on these things are about a year and a half. Depends on how many gallons you sell during the year. And they're quite expensive, but anyway, so we recycled, you know, some barrels of fuel, and now we're receiving the first load of fuel since installing this new equipment. And, you know, wasn't a coincidence. The fuel farm wouldn't work, wouldn't accept the fuel. And so we're turning valves and checking this and going through all the procedures. And our line service manager, who's really up on the equipment, said, you know, let's check the water defense system. So pull this plug out of this and turn the pump on and see what happens. You might want to use a 5 gallon bucket when you do it and stand back. And there's a little bit of water in that system. And, you know, the water didn't come from the fuel that was received. It came from samples that had been sitting around for a while, and that kind of thing happens. And it took over an hour to figure it out, but we finally figured it out.
Well, I'll tell you what, we had a great show. Tonight I'm giving the Savior Award to Robert over at UL. Because Zenith didn't show up tonight, so he knew kind of about Zenith, and he just really did an awesome job. He helped carry the remaining minutes of the show tonight, for sure. He's a great guy.
He's a lot of fun. A lot of fun to be around.
Matter of fact, I got him back on the radio now if you want to say hello.
Hey there, Chris.
Hey, Robert, how's it going?
Good. I'm excited. We're all ready for Roger's third annual birthday party.
Yeah, I ate lunch at the Frosty Mug yesterday, and I thought of you guys while I was sitting in there enjoying a nice cheeseburger. Thought they're going to have fun in here in a week and a half or so.
Yeah, every year we get more and more of the exhibitors showing up, and Frosty does a real good job of welcoming us, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, good people over there.
Yeah.
Now, Chris,
is like that. It's real nice.
Someone asked about what the weather is going to be this year, and I went to weather.com and I looked, and I mean it fluctuated. So I said I'm not going to say a word. So how would you have answered that question if someone said, "So what's the weather going to be like, Chris?"
It's always nice here. And hey, by the way, I went swimming last night, and I'm lucky and blessed enough to have a swimming pool, and I went swimming last night, and I'm going to go in there and get in it again tonight. And that's saying something for being September.
Well, yeah, it's like 80 degrees right now out there.
Yeah, it was 92 today.
So, I, to be completely honest, I haven't looked at the weather forecast. I don't typically worry about those kinds of things because you honestly can't do anything about it. And, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. That's what I tell everybody.
Yeah, I think it was David who mentioned 2 years ago the clouds and the fog. I think he mentioned
Yeah,
that.
We had one of those hurricanes that, you know, low pressure by the time it hit landfall and started kind of up, it put a big low pressure over the top of us, and we had that for several days. Yeah, we got socked that year. But
well,
it's something you can't do about it. You just got to make the best of it. And you know, as long as it's VFR, the exhibitors, you know, that are here, most of them can find a way to get in. But as long as we have VFR conditions, I mean, the flights are still going on. It prevents a lot of the, you know, the EA chapters and things like that that are flying into it to be here. It prevents that. But, you know, the serious exhibitors still find a way to get here, whether that might be a car or airline ticket or whatever. And, I mean, the attendees and the exhibitors are still doing their demo flights. So even though, you know, we had low clouds, there was still some demo flight going on.
Walter was so funny tonight. I asked him, I said, so what is your procedure when it comes to flying to do demos? He said, I don't care. If they want to fly, come on. He's so funny.
Yeah.
He was just
wide
open. Yeah,
that red
and
white van is in the air quite a bit.
Yep, and he's very excited about this year's show. Was there any information that you didn't talk about last night that you thought of after you hung up that you wanted to mention tonight?
Basically, I spent the day doing some media stuff, and you know, I was telling our local media about how all of our guests, you know, that are coming here are from all across the country, and I told them that we have effectively six new exhibitors at this year's expo. Now, we've lost a couple, and most of the losses had to do with the demo airplanes that the exhibitors had sold at AirVenture or slightly after AirVenture wrapped. And, you know, there's a long lead time to get the next one. So, you know, it doesn't make sense financially for them to be here in an empty booth. So, you know, all but one of them, that was the reason they're not going to be here. But I'm very excited about the new ones that are coming. You know, exhibitors like Aeropract and Super Petrol. And Heaven Bound with the Quicksilvers and Challenger, and that one I'm really excited about because that's a segment of our of this industry, you know, the Part 103 and the real affordable types simply weren't represented here. We had owners representing those brands here, and you know, those guys do the best they can, but they're not company reps or salesmen. I.e., you can't buy one of those types here. And this year we have that, and so I'm very excited about that. And then you know, the seminars and forums that we have this year are probably the best we've ever had, with the Air Force coming to do the TFR avoidance, and then the zero time to certificated pilot seminar is going to be a good one. And then my friend Bob McDaniel, that retired colonel from the Air Force that managed St. Louis Downtown Airport, is doing a seminar on buying a used airplane. So those are three really good ones that we've never had before. I'm excited about that.
We had Walter mentioned about this year, he's got about five or six appointments coming to the expo. He said it was great because while he was at Oshkosh, he was able to talk to him. He said, look, I'm going to be over at Mount Vernon. Why don't you come by? He said about five or six, I think he said. So again,
that validates what I said last night.
Chris, everything that you've said, everything that had you start this 7 years ago, I have heard out of everyone's mouth in the last two nights. So there is no doubt that some years you have, you know, fog, some years you might have rain. But in the end, people buy airplanes and they come to the expo to buy them. And I think that's the greatest testimony you can have for a show. And so I unfortunately, as I mentioned to Walter, that I'm not going to be there this year, which is all right. But I did promise them that you would make sure that the radio station, that the radio played while they were there. Because that actually, someone gave us a compliment on that last year. They liked the fact that they could hear the radio show while the show was going on. it kind of gave up.
You can bet we'll do that. We've got a great sound system, and we forgot to plug that because Dr. Charlie Rodriguez from SIU Carbondale.
Thanks, Ronnie.
Dr. Rodriguez is he's basically an industry known aviation professor, and just when you mention the word EAA or describe EAA, I mean that's Charlie Rodriguez. I mean, does anything he can to promote aviation, and he went out about 2 to 3 years ago and had a couple events at Carbondale and at Marion, two airports south of us. And, well, we lack the sound system, so I think I'm just going to go buy a $20,000 sound system with, an air show setup that you can daisy chain speakers for, 2,000 feet that way and 2,000 feet the other way. And he calls me up and says, hey, Chris, want to use that sound system for the expo? And, me, sure. And so last year was the first year we were able to do that. And, it just took the show to the next level with being able to play the radio show and playing music and announcing the seminars. And then every once in a while, somebody like Walter would come up and grab the microphone and describe his product. sometimes it was solicited and sometimes it wasn't. But we got huge compliments. About 6 weeks ago, we had Aluminum Overcast, EA's B-17 here. And, we were playing the Greatest Generation, the 40s on 4 type of music. And then a couple weeks ago, we had the Air Venture Cup race, the fastest cross-country race. We had 72 race planes and six or eight chase planes left us and went to Oshkosh to start Air Venture. And, I put the sound system out, and I thought, I wonder what kind of sound we should pipe through these speakers. And I thought, most of this generation is probably 70s. So I put the 70s classic rock on, and you wouldn't believe the compliments. I mean, people were coming up and they're like, that's the greatest background music I've ever heard at an event. It made me whack my plane 3 times. Put 3 coats on because I just enjoyed listening to that.
There you go.
So you never really think about the small things that make events, push it over the top.
But 100% all the way across the board is your hospitality of the airport and the ease of getting in and getting out and doing what needs to be done and the town. I mean, a lot of wonderful compliments. So looking forward to hear about all the wonderful testimonies about the show. As I told you earlier, we're not going to have a show on Saturday or Sunday, but we will continue on Monday at 7 p.m. for radio program number 3, where we've got Eric Evans Aviation going to be on, NIU Echolot, and we've got Skybound, and Mike McMillan is going to talk about the NORAD form. So very excited about that. And just to let you know, Tuesday night, we've got Rand Design coming on, Bristol, Magna USA, Heavenbound, and Wix Aircraft. And Wednesday, we've got Dennis Long, Billy Payne, and Aviators Hotline. And I'm waiting to hear back still, which is kind of funny because, it's amazing. We offer this opportunity to everyone, Chris. We're not partial to anybody. We want everybody to join us. And I've left some messages, and there's a bunch of the exhibitors that I have not heard back from yet. But let's just go ahead and put a challenge out now. Hansen, we want to hear from you. Dreams come true. Come on. U.S. Ford Aviation, here's your chance. Aerotech. Come on, Rob. This is perfect. You've got the Airplane Factory, Super Petrol USA. You've got American Legend, Flights for Christ, Air Evac, Technam, Mission Aviation Fellowship, Dynan, and Aviation Insurance Resources. I challenge you. Call me this weekend. Get to me, 931-808-0459. Let's get you scheduled, even if we end up having a show on Thursday night and Friday night. It makes no difference to me, Chris. I'm in. So whatever we got to do, we'll do. And again, I just love to be a part of this, man. We're making history. Whether people want to know it or not, they can say what they want, but I know we're making history.
Well, it's fun to walk the walk with you, Perry.
It is.
We've been
pretty
together
exciting.
On this for
it's all
we're
7 years.
On a decade.
We
yeah,
do.
A decade.
We are. And we both still look fabulous. It's amazing.
That's right.
Well, I started off the show with an encouraging word, And I'm going to end with another one. And this one is a little bit more smart-alecky, but it'll certainly make the point. A lot of people today are frustrated because of all the way that people are acting today. And as I told my 11-year-old daughter, honey, you can't fix stupid. So there's my word of advice. We'll see you guys on Monday. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day, Labor Day. Remember why we're celebrating it. And look forward to hearing from all the guys on Monday night. Thanks for joining us on Midwest LSA Expo Radio, program number 2, looking for 3 very soon. Welcome to the 2015 Plane and Pilot Midwest LSA Expo Radio Show, brought to you by Painter's Dream Productions and hosted by Perry Hartman of Painter's Dream Productions and Chris Collins, your international host for this year's 2015 event at the Mount Vernon Outland Airport in Mount Vernon, Illinois. The 7th annual Plane and Pilot Midwest LSA Expo is scheduled for Thursday, September 10th through Saturday, September 12th. Showtimes for this year's event are 9 to 4 each day. Midwest LSA Expo Incorporated specifically created this event for 3 reasons. 1, to educate aviators about all facets relating to the LSA industry, including the many different aircraft types, available engines, and LSA performance. 2, to promote the sale of LSAs, the use of LSA aircraft for flight training and in rental fleets. And finally, to promote economic development in the Southern Illinois region. We know that the Plane and Pilot Midwest LSA Expo is the most convenient and affordable of its type in the country. If you ask anyone, it's the true sales and